Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hi. This is Dove Knight, and thank you for listening. Well, anyway, I wanted to say that I'm a guy who's diverse in some ways. Not only as an artist, but I'm also intellectual. And part of my intellectual curiosity is I've written books. I write books, in particular with history. Since I was young, I always had a fascination with history, not just with artistic situations. And I've written, I want to talk about, you know, two or three books I've written. Now, they both relate with power and, you know, but two of them relate to the colonial times, you know. And, you know, the colonial times back into late 18th century. I'm talking about two figures who were prominent at that time. It's really interesting because I find a fascination with it because the 18th century for, you know, in particular with Europe and America, it was so much inequality in that part. But it was also a time of revolution on both sides of the Atlantic. It was a really interesting parallel, as you can see. And then the first book I want to talk about is James Madison. You can get it at Glasstree. It's James Madison, Is He a Hypocrite? First of all, I want to say that I did put my opinion in the back of the book if you read whether he's a hypocrite or not. So what I want to reveal is that one thing James Madison is, he's a very intelligent person and a very prominent person. He, you know, like the forefather, you know, founding fathers time, you know. He was born in Virginia, and Virginia, just like the South, was filled with, you know, a lot of planters. But people don't realize that at that time there were so many poor people, not just slaves, indentured servants, and there were a lot of poor colonists. In the South, there were a few who were wealthy. And the ones who were wealthy had slaves. And we all know how slavery is a very bad practice. Actually, it was an atrocity, bondage to, you know, enslaving other human beings. But James Madison was among the few who were very wealthy. And, of course, his prominence was, you know, being not just for President of the United States from 1801 to 1817, he was the father of the Constitution, which he kept a lot of, information about the Constitution, kept all the records, which for the last 200 years, you know, historians and educators and academics have still been amazed by his talents at record keeping regarding that important event, which, you know, became the forefront of, you know, a start of a document which became, you know, the beginning of the United States of America, which revolves around that document. I find James Madison a very wise person, a very ambitious person, and like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, John Adams, the other men, Benjamin Franklin, men of his time, possessed lots of intellectual, lots of talents. These founding fathers, he was a man of his time. He had slaves, he practiced it. Maybe perhaps because of his economic background, he was highly developed, and into the knowledge factor about many different things and slavery. But in my opinion, I felt he was a hypocrite. But that was the part that I wanted to get to, because he was involved in a practice. It was a way of life. The truth of the matter is that that's what everybody did at those times. And but he was a very gifted person. So if you want to read my book, you can do more on that. I wrote a lot about, it's a small book, and I wrote a lot about what he did. His famous words was that men are not angels, in reference to colonists who were skeptical about the Constitution, what I thought was very wise. This is the truth. He said, if men are not angels, they were angels, we wouldn't need the Constitution. Because the Constitution was made into a very highly developed document to defuse, or to prevent a monarchy, and to have a type of government that serves the people with checks and balances to prevent absolute power. So he done a lot. On while his lifestyle, with being a slave owner and so on, was not good, but nevertheless, and in terms on a philosophical level, he still done a lot. Frankly, with slavery, he wanted to sell his slaves, send them to Africa. He really did. Belair, where he was raised and which he owned through his life, just like Monticello, really the income was based on slavery and based on race, growing cotton and so on. The interesting note about Montpelier is that because of, I guess, gambling by his cousins, Montpelier did. I didn't write about that, but if you want to look up information about Montpelier, you can. But Montpelier did have financial trouble, but I've written more about his life. Just a short book about the presidency, the Constitution, and what he had done. I would call him like a protege of Thomas Jefferson. I mean, they really collaborated on a lot of things. And Montpelier is actually near Monticello in Orange County, Virginia. So that's an interesting situation, not too far. But the book is just my, historic facts, in my opinion, whether he's a hypocrite or not. And you just heard me say what I felt. But being at the, and living at that time, there was a duality of the life and what people wanted and preached, or what they wrote and what they say and what they actually did. And when I mention equality, very few people could be involved in the government. At that time, they wanted a very affluent person or a rich person to be a part of the government. Could be no women, could be no blacks, could be no slaves. It just was that type. It was an inequality that was part of that. And no, could be no poor people. So he was one of the few. He didn't get as much recognition as the others, but I'm sure that he will. It was interesting about the War of 1814, which during his presidency, when the British burned down Washington, Dorothy Madison took the photograph of who else? George Washington. I would say about his presidency, he was a very effective president, but the war on 1812, well, he had his problems there, but he's considered a very highly successful president. But I would consider his success more successful with what he did with the Constitution than with his presidency, but he was still a good president. But unfortunately, his slave owning practice and so on may hinder his legacy in that way, but unfortunately, that was a way of life, tragically. Dolly Madison, which I didn't write so much about, but she's an interesting person. She was a very popular hostess. I think among the presidents, she was one of the beginning, probably the first lady, perhaps, that was really out there with the public at the White House, and involved in the political process by being the wife of, and using her charm at parties to help her husband politically. So it's an interesting book. I hope you consider reading it. There was another book, and I'm freaked about the inequality. You know, it was just the beginning of a revolution, but it was inequality across the Atlantic in Paris. I read a book about Marie Antoinette, which is that love history and political science. Yeah, we know about the French, why the French Revolution, American Revolution. Both have very parallel, and the countries had inequality. There was an inequality tremendously at those times. You know, in Paris, you know, the peasants, and there were very few people who were rich, and the rich were the monarchy. My view in Marie Antoinette is that someone who was put in I wrote a book, it's The Revolution, Revelations. There's so many books about Marie Antoinette, you know. She, you know, being a wife, you know, the consort, you know, the bad reputation that she has acquired to this day because of her lavish lifestyle. Yes, I do believe, I've written a book that I think perhaps she was a bit callous and she kept spending and spending. But I don't think that she was as bad as the perception is. She didn't say, let them eat cake and stuff. One reason why the royal family at that time kept spending, because they were told by, from what was reported by the financial minister, that to keep spending, to increase, that'll help increase the economy. And but the sad thing is that in her situation, being the daughter of an empress and being born into the monarchy in Austria and becoming queen, her and her husband and members of the royal family didn't have or make the right steps in connecting with their people. I think perhaps being used to being rich at a time where it was so poor and the economy was going down, they didn't have the right connections. And I think her husband, of course, didn't have the right attributes to be king, perhaps because he wasn't trained enough to be king and he didn't want to. That, of course, played a big role. And she did take over as... over her, you know, she did make a lot of decisions. She went and took his place because he was, you know, not as assertive in his dealings with politics. So she took a leadership role. But, you know, it's pretty interesting. And the actions that she and her husband took, and I wrote a little book about that, led to the guillotine. And it's kind of opposite with across the seas with James Madison, one of the founding fathers at that time, fighting for equal rights, and he said that slavery was wrong. You know, and Thomas Jefferson said slavery was wrong, yet they kept slaves. So it was a hypocrisy, a duality. Yeah. So you see both sides. So those are little books I want to talk about. It's really interesting about these human beings, because we put these people on pedestals, like these presidents, you know, we put them, or people, and they are full of flaws. And it's important to know that when you see a famous person or someone in the public eye, they're just a human being like we are. They have their flaws, ups and downs of being a human being. And it's pretty much shown by the hypocrisy, and I've written about that with the president from George Washington on. That book was just showing not just their personal flaws, but the flaws that they made in office. You know, every single person in leadership probably did something, even though they did the best they could, that they regret. And that is what it is. So I hope you consider reading those books, because I love history. I had to use my mind as well, not just my artist side. They are available on Glasstree and Lulu. You can look it up on Google. I've written a lot, all kinds of books, you know, some really about all kinds of things, but what I really enjoy, one of the things I enjoy is history and political science. And James Madison, despite his flaws, was a very wise individual, which helped lead what became the United States of America to become independent from Britain. And on the other side of the ocean were Marie Antoinette, Paris. Well, we know a lot about her. And yet, ironically, and I want to say this, and I didn't write about that, despite the luxury that she lived, they did give lots of money to help America free itself from France. I mean, excuse me, free itself from Britain. So, without the zillions and zillions of dollars from the French monarchy, America may not have been, or could probably never have been a country, a free country. So America has to really thank Louis XVI and his wife Marie Antoinette for the money they gave. Of course, they lost their heads for it. But, you know, the interesting thing about European history and European societies is that the king and queen was the centerpiece of the countries. And it's pretty interesting to note. And a lot of things we're still finding out about these people. We'll still find out more. Like, we know more about Thomas Jefferson may have had a relationship with a slave. Unfortunately, as it was very common, while it was, you know, what some people would consider horrific, and it perhaps is, and from my personal opinion, but nevertheless, it was very common with slave owners sleeping with slaves. And James Madison, was a complex individual, but he was a man of his times in Central Virginia, where he comes from. It's pretty interesting because Virginia is probably the state where most presidents were born and came from. You know, from George Washington to Thomas Jefferson, to James Monroe, James Madison, because I think the first out of the first five presidents, I think four of them are from Virginia. John Tyler. So it's pretty interesting what has happened. Presidents from that state. So that was the way of life. You know, slavery and indentured servants too. So interesting to learn about the father of the Constitution and its complex or ways in his life, or perhaps hypocritical or not. It's up to you to make that decision. But one thing I know about the 18th century, early 19th century, the beginning, the wars and the revolution, there was a lot of inequality on both sides. With the French, poor. There were so many poor people, peasants, and they starved. Unfortunately, it was reported they starved in the monarchy, and the royal, and even the clergy. There were very few of them live prosperously. And on the other side of the Atlantic, there was America. It freed itself from Britain, from a king-oriented king. And at the same time, when they got free, we realized that there was inequality. Very few people could take part in the Constitutional Convention or the Declaration of Independence, could be leaders. With the exception of the war, but I'm talking about like be the leaders, represent, they liked, have a, you know, come from affluent background. You had to be white and you had to have a brand name, you know, that kind of thing. So women could not vote, or women were considered as property, slaves. Poor people could not be involved. They wanted the best, the smartest, the most intelligent. And which is now today, America is still growing. And I was just going to talk about what James Madison, it's just a small book about him. I'll be consider reading it. James Madison, is he a hypocrite? Well, my answer to that is just look at all the other founding fathers and the practices of those of that day, and you make that your decision with respect to what people believe or not. But that was how it was. If you look across the Atlantic, you look at the founding fathers, and then you look at the king and queens of France. It was pretty interesting, you know, when I write about this. Because, you know, there's a lot to learn. Because the truth is, history shows us where we have been and where we're going. Because we know more about life than we did back then. But it helps us understand where we have been and how we are going to go. And that's pretty much how it is. It's a lot to learn. It's good to learn about history because it gives an idea of or about why we are here, and it definitely is connected to where we are now and where we are going to the future, because everything transcends and changes, and that was a big change. Now, the presidential hypocrisy, it was just, I really written about what was going on in those administrations, what my point of view is. Now, that book went up to Ronald Reagan from George Washington, but I written another book, part two, which you can find a little up to Donald Trump. And while we're still questioning the relevancy or the quirks of this current president. And I'm going to be respectful because everybody has a different point of view, Republican or Democrat or whatever you believe. I'm going to keep it in a nonpartisan situation in that way. But that's how I put my point of view. Because when I usually put what I perceive to be something, a fault or something in relation to the policies that they made during the time that they're president, I really am trying to emphasize that what they have done during their presidency about a policy or event which years later turned out to be something that they should have taken care of because it was truly something that had to be addressed because it was a serious issue or something that was based on, inhibiting something. Like with Ronald Reagan, you know, a lot of people love Ronald Reagan, but in my opinion, I felt he should address more about the AIDS epidemic because it was a serious issue. Because a lot of people have died from it. And as we know, years afterwards, that issue had to be addressed. Because many people were suffering from AIDS, and they deserve compassion. Because anybody can get AIDS. And, of course, we know so much more about AIDS than we did in 1983. But that is how I felt. Or with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was such a great president. But incarcerating Japanese, I don't know if I've written about that, but you can look that up. But I may not have put that in a book, but I'm just pointing out different things that should be addressed. But the book does talk about certain things about my opinion about Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky. Whether is that something that inhibited his stance or his ability to be president because of an affair. You know, you make your own decisions. We all heard about certain things that happened with each president. I really did have a opinion about Woodrow Wilson, because Woodrow Wilson was the only PhD to be president, a very, very intelligent person. He done a lot. He did, during his administration, try to get Congress to ideas for something that related to, like a United Nations type, starting a idea related to, foreign affairs, which later would lay the groundwork for eventual, United Nations. Of course, it wasn't called United Nations at that time, but he had a stroke. I think he had a stroke toward the end, and he died a few years after his presidency, in 1924. But the situation as it is that it's very interesting about him. But at the same time, his policies with segregation and so on. Unfortunately, my opinion was that I thought he was a racist. He was a man of his times. And that was the way of life. That's how a lot of people in mainstream thought in the 1920s. So, read my book. And it's important to look all this up. And I'm going to reiterate, the League of Nations, or I think was what she was referring to. He wanted the idea regarding that. But there's so much to learn. Learn as much as you can. And political science is healthy. But history is definitely healthy. Because it tells us where we have been. And where we are going. Thank you from Dove Knight.